Welcome to the Just Go Places podcast, your source for tips, advice, and insider information on great destinations to visit around the world with your family. And now, your host, Shoba George.
Hello, today's guest is Cheryl Chu Sosnov, who is going to tell you about a recent trip she took to the Philippines with her husband, two children, aged 6 and 9, and her mother-in-law. Although Cheryl is from Manila in the Philippines, she has spent the last 25 years in the United States and Europe. So while visiting her mother, the family decided to throw in a beach holiday in the Philippines. Her mother-in-law flew in from Israel to join the family holiday. A little bit about Cheryl. Cheryl is the founder and owner of Hot Chew Artisanal Asian Condiments, which are sold online and in stores throughout England. It's the go-to stir-fry and marinade sauces that my children love. You can find out more about Hot Chew, that's spelled Chew, C-H-I-U, on his Facebook page, Hot Chew Foods. Now, Cheryl, that you want to add about yourself here.
I grew up in a Chinese household, eating Chinese food. I've always loved Chinese cooking because that's what I grew up with. But since we lived in the Philippines, it's quite multicultural in the way that we ate Filipino food, exposed to Filipino culture as well. So, however, at home, we mostly prepared Chinese food and Chinese dishes and delicacies. So when we had a chance to eat Filipino food, it was a treat.
You went back a couple of months ago?
Yeah, we went back in April. It was spring holidays over here, so it's high summer time in the Philippines. So everyone's out of school back there and everyone's on holiday. So it was time to go there and go to beaches, visit places. So we decided to go to Palawan. It's one of the provinces in the Visayas region of the Philippines. And we chose an island called Busuanga. It has beautiful beaches. The sea is gorgeous with turquoise colors and so many things to see and experience. There's coral reefs and enchanted lakes.
What makes them enchanted?
People there are superstitious. So the natives who live in Coron Island, also kind of off of Busuanga Island, are the ones who own this, I guess, cluster of islands over there. They are very superstitious. I think they are pagans, if you can call them that. The government has granted them rights to the land and the sea around them. And so for tourists to visit, we have to ask permission from them, as well as we have to pay to visit.
Like a tourist fee.
Yeah, there's a tourist fee so that they can use the money to preserve the area, make sure it's clean, make sure it's accessible only to people they allow to go there. Anyway, what makes it enchanted is that they believe that there are the nature gods who live in these lakes and mountains and trees. And among the 13 lakes that they know about in that area, in Coron and Busuanga, only two are accessible to tourists, because the rest, they said that it would anger and upset the gods of nature. And they have the duendes, you know, dwarves and the elves who guard the nature. They might not be too happy if the tourists keep going to these places.
Why did you pick this particular island?
So we picked this particular island because we've heard so much about it. Being that in the 70s, the Marcoses turned Kalawi, it's another island in this particular area, into a nature reserve. So it was known to many that there's like a beautiful kind of nature reserve there. So I thought it would be great for the kids to go and visit. And at the same time, there's beautiful beaches and untouched islands and little villages that we could experience and pay a visit. So it was just, it's very natural and it's virgin in a way. That's why we decided to go there. And the flights are very short. They're 45 minutes from Manila. In retrospect, we should have taken Philippine Airlines from Manila rather than Cebu Pacific. They are a better company, better managed, and less likely to cancel flights. Unfortunately, our Cebu Pacific flights were canceled literally the minute that we were supposed to board. The flight coming from Busuanga was running late, and they have a law called the sunset law, which means the sun was going to set before we could arrive there, and there were no lights on the runway, and therefore we're not allowed to board the plane. We had to get our bags again and go back home and come back really early in the morning for a 6 o'clock flight. They gave us vouchers for the inconvenience, but we couldn't use the vouchers because it was only valid for 6 months and we couldn't give it to anybody. It had to be us flying and we wouldn't be back for 6 months. One of us had to go back to the check-in counter to rebook the tickets for the next day. So it wasn't automatic. Everybody whose flights were canceled had to go themselves and rebook the new flight for the morning. And at this point, it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And the airport was literally packed with people, happy people and very unhappy people. And one of us had to go to the arrival section. There was a bus that took us to the arrival section to grab our suitcases that we had already checked in. Thankfully, my mother-in-law was there, so she stayed with the kids, and they just sat and waited for us. It was a bit of a hassle. I mean, the airport is a new airport, which is, it's nice, except because it's Manila, it's the Philippines, there's millions of people, there's thousands of people in it trying to board planes, because it's, you know, it's summer, and everyone's trying to go somewhere. It wasn't the best of experiences, but once we got there the next day, 45-minute flight on Cebu Pacific, you arrive there, it's gloriously sunny. 6:30 flight, we arrived there before 7:30. We still had an hour ride on the van to the resort. It's a bumpy ride. The roads are mostly unpaved. There are some paved roads. I'd say it's like a 60% unpaved, 40% paved. They're still working on the roads that goes to our resort. We could see that work is being done, but when we asked when it was supposed to be finished, the answer given to us by our driver was, it's supposed to have been finished. So no one knows when the roads are going to be well paved. So which means if and when it did get paved properly, then travel time to the resort would be down to maybe half an hour, you know, 40 minutes, not an hour and a bit. But once we got there, breakfast was laid out. It was a calm sea, beautiful swimming pool. Everyone was just chilling and eating their breakfast. And we had a lovely welcome from the resort people.
What is this resort called?
The resort is called the Busuanga Bay Lodge. It's really beautifully maintained. The staff is very friendly. The manager is Scottish, I think. Very lovely guy. And they hire mostly locals to, you know, help them out running the place.
How did you pick it?
Oh, we went on TripAdvisor and we saw a lot of very good reviews by Filipinos as well as just, you know, international people. Australians, Koreans, Germans, okay. British people. Yeah, so it had a good review. Obviously, because it's so, in a way, remote, when you do get to dinner time, the choices are not too varied, but whatever they make, they actually make well. So there's one restaurant and there's a grill, which was our favorite because they grilled fish and chicken and whatever was available that day because they buy from local fishermen. Whatever came from the sea is grilled fresh that day. Could be squid. Obviously, the chicken comes from town and probably the red meats are exported from somewhere. It's not what you go there to eat. You eat seafood.
Yes.
Mostly.
Where the kids are with the food choices.
Yeah.
You and I both have daughters that are picky eaters.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah. But they only make rice, pasta, whatever you ask for the children, they really do cater to your needs. And, you know, they always do it with a smile. Yeah, and you never feel like you're rushed in any way to get out of your seats at dinner time. There's plenty of room and plenty of time for everyone. There's all the drinks you could ever want. There's wine, there's beer, there's all kinds of cocktails. So it's lovely, well-run place. It's still 4-star because it's still unfinished. They're still creating. They're still building the rest of the rooms. They're lovely big rooms, huge bathrooms. Really, it could accommodate big family. Like a lot of Filipino families, are big. For we're small, extra charge, they would add a bed. They'll give you extra blankets, pillows, that kind of stuff. So we rented 2 adjacent rooms. The children were in one room with my mother-in-law, so they stayed with grandma, and they had enough room for luggage and more. There's a huge selection of movies for the children and for adults. There was Sky Cable.
Did you have Wi-Fi?
We had Wi-Fi, yeah. They had passwords. Inside the room, it's a little bit choppy, but they have like seats outside, kind of like a small patio for each hotel room. So you could sit there, have a drink, red sea view rooms. So it was lovely when the kids are asleep and we just want to sit outside, nice and breezy in the evenings. And then you could do all your Wi-Fiing.
What sort of things did you do on this trip?
Oh, we did so much. I think the first day we stayed in the hotel, we enjoyed the pool, caught our breath from having to deal with the airport business day before. And they have activities director who comes to you usually just before you have your meal or while you're having your meal and waiting for the food to come. She would come and sit with you, ask about, what would you like to do? They're never pushy, and she makes recommendations about activities or islands you could visit. So we decided to book an island hopping tour. We went snorkeling first and saw beautiful fish, beautiful corals. We had a guide. It's a motorized boat. It's not fancy. They call it bangkas. It's a boat and it has wings on the side. Okay. Balancers. The 5 of us had one of those, a guide and a driver. It wasn't too expensive, and our guide was very experienced, and he made sure that the children were always looked after so that the adults can enjoy the snorkeling. You can start and stop as you wish.
Kind of like a private tour.
Pretty much, yeah. You could say they have specific islands that they recommended. So, when we were talking to the activities director, we discussed with her our priorities. Like we said, we really wanted to see beautiful corals, but we don't want to be in open water.
Yes, because of the children.
Exactly, because of the children. We wanted to be safe. So then she says, well, this is the island you should go to. And I can't remember all the names of the islands anymore. But anyway, and then, we would say, great, let's do that. They never rushed you in the morning saying, okay, we got to be on the boat at 8:00 in the morning. They will say, okay, what's your schedule like? What do you usually like to do? Would you like to have breakfast, go back to your room for a little bit, and then we'll get the driver and the guide ready for you by 10:00? Is that reasonable? Not too late, but not too early. It's pretty relaxed and not pushy. Yeah. And they cater to your own schedule. So, which is really nice for what they're charging. It's really not a huge amount to.
That's really good for children, because sometimes just getting out the door can be a hassle, and trying to get somewhere for a specific time.
Or after breakfast, people.
You're on
holiday. We want to use a toilet, or we want to go brush our teeth, and we don't need to be in our bathing suits at breakfast because it's hot and sticky. The sun comes up at 5:40 in the morning, and then once you get out the door at 7, it's scorching hot. It's really, really hot.
Okay.
They have golf carts that you can call, and they come and collect you, so you don't have to walk up the hill.
Yeah.
Because we had sea view rooms. We were kind of down in the bottom, and then the golf cart would just take us up. It takes a minute to go up in the golf cart, rather than walking 15 minutes in the heat. I mean, there are other places to go to in Palawan as well. There's El Nido Resorts. It's really beautiful. I think there's 3 or 4 resorts that they own. It's like a conglomerate. There's also lots of beautiful limestone and granite formations, swallows and birds' nests and monkeys in the wild. For a nice family holiday where they could experience real nature. Like in Busuanga, you could go kayaking and, look, there's a lot of sea urchins. Dan even took a sea urchin and gave it to the grill man in our hotel, opened it, and they ate it. Great for the kids to be able to even walk on the dock. And there's a lot of colorful fish. Whatever, they don't eat the bread. If they don't finish the bread at breakfast, they'd go to the dock and just drop a little bit of crumbs and the fish would come. It's just something else to do.
Well, that's
so basic.
Yes, but that's entertainment itself for, like, my kids.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They could do it for an hour.
Yes.
Oh, and another day, it was around maybe late afternoon, you know, maybe between 4 and 6. Everyone was resting, but Claire and David said they wanted to go out and fish off the dock.
Okay.
And they did. And Claire caught a fish.
How was the snorkeling?
The snorkeling was amazing. You know, we saw all kinds of fish, little fish, big fish. There's giant clams. They're the kids, they just had to kind of whoosh the water on top, and then the clams go open, close, open, close.
Oh, that was fun.
And they're blue. They're blue. Like, you know, the clamshell are obviously like sandy white, but then the inside, the middle, the mouth of the clam is blue. So they're, you know, you look down and there's this sea of giant clams. She wasn't keen with the snorkel, so she just had her goggles and put her face down. And even that was, you know, spectacular. They had all kinds of corals, soft, hard, big, small, yellow, neon colors. So
if you have a child who's a little bit afraid of snorkeling or being in the water, you could just hang out and still see stuff.
Absolutely, because basically what the guy did was he just tied like a life buoy on her, and she's wearing the vest anyway. So then the life buoy allowed her to hang on to the rope, and he would pull the life buoy, and she went along with him, and she dipped her head as often or as, you know, as much as she wanted, and she still had a free hand to kind of wipe her face and look at nature, because if you look up, you see lots of birds. There's lots of swallows. Those swallows are the ones that make the bird's nest that a lot of people, especially the Chinese, they harvest the bird's nest. It's not the nest. The nest is obviously made of twigs and, you know, leaves, but it's the spit of the swallow. So the swallows make the nest, and they glue it with their own spit. And the spit kind of comes down like icicles and gets all the twigs and the leaves, get it stuck together because it's sticky.
Yes.
So it's the spit that glues together the nest. And the Chinese view this, it's a delicacy in the Chinese culture. The spit itself is the delicacy.
On a side note, what do you do with the spit?
You clean it out, and it's a whole texture thing. They eat it. That's what bird's nest soup is made out of, the spit of the swallow. I'm not sure what the health benefits are, but I think it's more of like a texture thing. How,
okay,
you know, the Chinese culture have this thing about different textures, just like the shark's fin. There's no taste in the shark's fin. It's a texture that people are after. It's the texture that people are after. Because they put it in the soup and they mix it with all kinds of other things. When they serve the shark's fin soup, for instance, they add black vinegar, which is a taste that's so overpowering you can't taste anything else. It's all about the texture and the experience of having that in your mouth.
Interesting.
So same with the bird's nest soup. My grandmother might have claimed at some point that it's healthy for me. My husband has tried it, and it's gelatinous, and that's about it. And they put sugar or like something almondy in that soup. They make it into a dessert as well. So there's a lot of swallows in Palawan, and a lot, you know, people go there to, you know, harvest these bird's nests.
So there's plenty for children to see and do.
There's plenty of things for children to see. There's when we're on the boat, there's flying fish that goes like
over
they
the
fly
water.
Out of the water and back in. So that's really sexy. And at some point, I think something went wrong with the motor of our boat, so we had to stop for a few minutes. And we all just decided to jump into the water. It's pretty safe for 5 minutes. I'm sure there are no sharks that would bite us. But the children thought that was like, ooh, so adventurous, because we're like in the middle of the sea. This is called Philippine Sea, which is an extension of the South China Sea. But there are islands all around, so it's not open water. What else did we do after the snorkeling and the island hopping? We obviously stopped at yet another island to have lunch. So they also organize, it's part of the whole activity director's job is to organize lunch in the middle of it all. And they brought some fish, some squid, some seaweed, and they actually cooked it on the boat. They have this amazing makeshift stove oven, and they use charcoal to cook everything on. So it's fascinating to watch them come up with this amazing meal. And in the meantime, my husband, you know, my son went to go and pick coconuts. They picked the coconuts. They obviously want to open it and drink coconut water and eat the meat. So we also had that for lunch.
Did they climb a tree or?
Well, the tree was low enough, so they climbed it a little and then hacked the coconut off of it. And so while my husband and my son were doing this, my mother-in-law was in the shallow water where everyone else was snorkeling yet again. And her guide was with her and found a bluefish, you know, a little off, brought it towards the tourists. Namely my mother-in-law and some others, and they started playing with the lovely blowfish, who was very cute and puffy because he didn't like people touching him. As she's petting this lovely cute yellow and brown blowfish, it decided to bite her finger. Whoops. It was fine because she's fine,
so she was okay. Did they treat her?
No, I mean, she was in salt water. We had some, you know, we had a plaster okay. in our bag, so she just plastered it up. It was fine. It was just an annoying cut because it's in her forefinger. Kids, you know, declared that this is the best place on the earth. We love it. We don't ever want to leave. So we're like, great. You know, have fun. Go and play in the water. They both went to the shallow part of the beach and they were playing picking stones. The next thing I heard Claire screaming her head off and slapping her leg, her foot, her arms. It turns out that she'd step on a fire coral.
Oh, no.
And they are everywhere, and they're soft. They look like seaweed in the water. And she thought she was just stepping on seaweed, and turned out it was fire coral. And they sting, and they hurt. And sadly, you know, she was obviously in tears. We immediately got her out of the water, and, you know, I took all the bits out. It's a kind of plant. Mm-hmm. It's soft, but it actually goes into your skin because their skin is so soft having been in the water. So I had to kind of prick it out with her screaming in my husband's arm. But she was fine after that. Our guide ran back to get some, we call it calamansi. These are the little limes that the Philippines is, they're known for it. But yeah, so the little lime, we squeezed some into her feet and the affected area into her hand, and probably took a good 10 minutes and the pain subsided. And 10 minutes is a long time for a kid. Yes.
And afterwards, so there weren't any side effects after the 10 minutes?
No, it was red and kind of, you know, itchy for another week, I think. But I had hydrocortisone, you know, in the hotel room. So I put hydrocortisone maybe once or twice a day, and that was it. And then it went away. So
she was still able to enjoy her vacation.
Yeah, she still enjoyed her vacation. She forgot all about it the next day. And, you know, when she got back here, she had pictures to show her friends. So, yeah, I stepped on a fire coral and I survived.
Tell me about the beaches. They look
the
so
beaches
pretty.
Beaches were great because there are so many different beaches. There's some stony beaches. There's some white sand beaches. The sand gets really, really hot in the middle of the day, but most people who would go to these places, they would have flip-flops or footwear anyway. But definitely make sure that your kids are well covered in sunscreen, wearing a hat or a rash guard, because temperatures can go up as high as like 45 degrees.
Wow.
In the middle of the day. Well, it feels like 45 degrees. It's probably not that, you know, maybe 35, but feels like 45 because it's humid, it's hot. Obviously, in the beaches, it's quite windy. There's crosswinds all the time, so you don't really feel like it's that hot when the wind is blowing, but you're really getting roasted in the meantime.
Yes, you have to be careful with the sunscreen.
Exactly. So go into the shade, drink lots of water. We had lots of water. The good thing about the hotel as well is they had like a mini bar kind of fridge, and they would stuff it with water, soda, juices, and beer, and per day, you can actually, it's part of your hotel room. You bring all those in a cooler. They'll provide you with a cooler with ice. You don't have to buy extra.
What did your Israeli mother-in-law think of the trip?
She loved it. It was very exotic for her and just experiencing the islands, the people. People are very hospitable, friendly, and genuine. Not because they're getting paid for it. And all our guides worked overtime, and we would, you know, try to give them money as a tip, and they said, no, 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 we're not allowed. This is part of our job. There was no way to give it to them.
Was this her first trip to the Philippines?
No, it's her second trip. She came when we got married in the Philippines. So we also went to a different resort at that time.
This sounds terrific. I've been to Boracay. A long time ago, about 20 years ago. I think it sounded very similar, but I've heard now Boracay is very...
It's too commercial. It's crowded with people. A lot of foreigners have taken up residence there, and they open their own businesses, dive schools, you know, windsurfing, kitesurfing, that kind of stuff.
Probably bars and pubs and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like Cancun when it's busy. And there's no sea life or nature to talk about. Greatest thing about Boracay is the sand. The sand never gets hot. Even if it's like 50 degrees outside, the sand stays cool.
Why is that?
There's something special about the sand there. Oh, it's really, it's like a fluke of nature. That's one thing special about Boracay is, yeah. It's very commercial. There's always somebody soliciting money from you. Might it be children or somebody selling you something. So it's like a trip to the souk, except you're at the beach.
Say you prefer Buswanga to Boracay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they have a lot of companies bring their people there for, like, team building experiences. So, you know, that's how commercial it is. Literally, you know, Coca-Cola would have their team building weekend there.
In Boracay.
In Boracay, yeah, exactly. Yes. Or Procter & Gamble, you know, big companies.
Yes.
So, obviously, they had to build these giant hotels to accommodate the need.
Thank you, Cheryl, for joining us and telling us about your fab vacation. It sounds like an adventurous few days with all the snorkeling, fishing, and encounters with fire coral. You can keep up with Cheryl on her Facebook page, Hot Chew Foods. And do check out Hot Chew Artisanal Asian Condiments either online or at a store near you if you're living in England. On the blog, Just Go Places, you will find a recipe that Cheryl uses to make the Filipina classic comfort food, chicken adobo. You should check that out too. Thanks for listening to this episode of Just Go Places podcast. For show notes and links to everything on this episode and lots more information on fun family travel, do check out justgoplacesblog.com. Feel free to contact me on Facebook or Twitter with your comments and questions on family travel. I also really appreciate if you can leave reviews on iTunes for Just Go Places podcast. It really helps in making the podcast discoverable for other people and families who are interested in travel. So thanks very much, and until next time.